everyone. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. It's so good to see you this morning. Couple of announcements to share with you. The first is to remind session that we are going to have our monthly session meeting on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Cliff should be sending out the link to that meeting in the next day or two, so if you don't get the link, just send me a text message and I'll make sure that you get it. Second announcement is we are going to be resuming Bible study on Thursday at 2 o'clock. We are going to be going through the book of Genesis. The plan is that we'll get through about half of Genesis now in the fall slash early winter, and then we'll pick up with the second half of Genesis after the holidays. If you would like a reading plan to follow along with what we're going to be covering in Bible study, there are handouts on the back table. I believe the meeting code for the Zoom meeting should be on it as well. Those are all of the announcements that I have. Does anyone have any announcement that I forgot to make? All right, let us turn our hearts and minds to God with our call to worship. Why was it, sea, that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams, you hills like lambs? Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Hear the Good News of Salvation. Now for our prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Amen. Father, and to the Son. with me now as we profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another from our seats. We have a special treat this morning. The choir is back, and they are going to sing an anthem for us. friends, I don't think we have any additional prayer requests this morning, so I'll just share with you what I have. We will continue to pray for a coronavirus treatment and vaccine. We will continue to pray for the wildfires in California, Oregon, and Washington. I know that this happened a little bit earlier in the week, but we'll take a moment during our prayer time to pause and remember all those affected and who died during 9/11. It was the 19th anniversary this past week. Another thing to pray for, so this Sunday, a lot of the churches in our presbytery were meeting together for the first time, and a lot of them had planned outdoor worship services, and I saw on Facebook this morning a lot of my colleagues had to move everything inside in like an hour's notice because there is a 100% chance of rain from now until 2. So a praise that they're able to start gathering together. Many of them have not met in person at all during the pandemic, but a request that the Spirit be with my colleagues who are having to pivot at the ninth hour because of the rain. All right, friends, let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. Like Christ's apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship and forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of new life to a broken world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we continue to pray for an effective treatment and vaccine for the coronavirus. We continue to pray for our brothers and sisters on the West Coast, particularly in California, Oregon, and Washington, as they battle unprecedented wildfires. Lord, we remember all of the Americans who lost their lives on that fateful September day 19 years ago. We pray that you would continue to be with their families as they mourn. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We give you thanks and praise that cases are low enough in Allegheny County that many of our churches are able to resume in-person worship. I pray that you would be with my colleagues as they are frantically rearranging plans since it is raining outside. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offertory. give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The scripture reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's scripture reading is a parable about forgiveness. You'll notice that in Matthew's gospel, Jesus likes to speak in parables. He does this so that he can teach his disciples how they are to follow him in their daily lives. As far as parables go, the parable of the unmerciful servant is a relatively straightforward one. We are to forgive others the way that our Father in heaven has forgiven us. I said that this parable is straightforward. Straightforward does not mean easy. It does not mean that it is obvious how we should apply this to our daily lives. Forgiveness is hard, like really hard. Forgiveness is hard because it requires us to find a way to let go of the hurt that another person has caused us. But forgiveness is also a necessary discipline in the life of faith. Because if we don't learn how to let go of our hurt, we will just turn around and look for ways to hurt others. As the saying goes, hurt people hurt people. Also, forgiveness seems to be really important to Jesus. If we don't forgive those who have trespassed against us, we anger God. The parable of the unmerciful servant begins with a king forgiving the debt of one of his servants. The servant owes the king 10,000 denarii. Each denarii is a day's wage for a laborer. I did the math. Basically, the servant owes the king 27 years of labor. This is a ridiculous amount of money for the king to forgive. It's an amount of money that the servant may never have been able to pay back. The king teaches us what it looks like to forgive an unforgivable debt. The servant is supposed to be a changed man as a result of the king's forgiveness. But we all know that's not how the story goes. The servant's servant comes to him, and the servant demands that he pay him back the 100 denarii that he owes him. The servant refuses to forgive his servant's debt. Now, 100 denarii is not as great as 10,000 denarii. 100 denarii is roughly the equivalent of 4 months of labor. It's a much, much smaller amount than what the servant owed the king. We're kind of expecting in this moment that the servant is going to forgive his servant, but he doesn't. When the king hears of his servant's actions, he hands him over to jailers to be tortured. A fair question to ask of this parable is, why doesn't the servant forgive his servant's debt? I think it's because the servant has been hurt by a system that forces a laborer to take on a debt he can never repay in order to survive. Even though the king forgave him, this one act of forgiveness isn't powerful enough to undo the trauma that comes with selling yourself to survive. In the end, it feels safer for the servant to hurt his servant than to trust in the power of forgiveness. I think this is why Jesus tells Peter that he is to forgive not 7 times, but 77 times. I don't think Jesus tells Peter this to give him a goal to shoot for. Rather, he's trying to explain to Peter that forgiveness is like a well that never runs dry. When we forgive someone, we extend to another the forgiveness of God. It is not us doing the forgiving, but it is Christ working through us. Since there is no limit to God's forgiveness of us, neither should there be a limit of our forgiveness of our neighbors. Now, forgiveness would be a whole lot easier if the life of faith involved just me and Jesus. But as we learned last week, we live our discipleship in the context of Christian community. So I have to deal with all of you, and all of you have to deal with me. And when I say you have to deal with me, I mean that you have to forgive all of the little things about me that drive you crazy, just as I have to learn how to forgive all of the things there are none about you all that drive me crazy. What I think is good news about this passage is that forgiveness is not dependent upon our own character or strength. Forgiveness comes from God. God in Jesus Christ gives us the gift of forgiveness, and God in the Spirit helps us share that gift with others. So when we forgive others or others forgive us, we're just getting in on what God is already doing in our midst. I think this parable also teaches us the difference between forgiving big things and forgiving little things. I think for many of us, it's actually harder to forgive the little things about one another that annoy us than it is to forgive the big things. I think in my own life, I am much more likely to get annoyed with something about someone else that keeps happening over and over and over again than I am to get annoyed about somebody not being able to pay back a debt that they probably weren't ever going to be able to pay back to begin with. This week, I had a presbytery meeting that I was organizing, and I had planned it for a couple weeks. I had sent out a couple reminder emails, and I let everyone know this is an important meeting. I need everyone to be here on time and be logged into Zoom so that we can make it happen. Well, I have a friend who sits on the committee who cannot, for the life of him, show up to a meeting on time. This particular morning, he just forgot that the meeting was happening, and he sent me a text message later in the day, and he's like, "I'm so sorry, I missed the meeting." But as I thought about it, I thought that I actually am going to have way more opportunities in my life to forgive this friend who is constantly late for meetings than I am to forgive large sums of money that people might owe me. Another thing that I learned as I was reflecting on this is that my friend is probably going to be late again, and I'm probably going to be annoyed by his lateness again, and I'm going to need to forgive his lateness again. But I need to do this so that my annoyance of his lateness doesn't derail our friendship. Because while this may feel like a small grievance that I'm holding on to, and it may not feel like a big deal in the moment, over the course of my lifetime, this petty grievance is going to define who I am. I hope by now you're hearing me say that forgiveness is lifelong, daily work. Sorry, I wish it was easier, and I could tell you it was easier, but it is difficult. On the days like last Wednesday, when I'm really struggling to forgive someone who is late for a meeting, I have to remind myself of two things. Number one, I am actually not perfect. I do things that annoy and sometimes even harm others. Maybe I'm not late for meetings, but I've lost track of the amount of times I have left my church keys in the wrong church. I've also had to inconvenience people when I've left my keys at the wrong church. And these people, time and time again, have forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. Might it be possible for me to extend that same grace to someone else? The other thing I have to remember, you know, because I'm not perfect, is that God chose to forgive me anyway. I think we often think that Jesus only died for the big sins, things like murder and adultery and theft. But Jesus also died for all of the times that I have and that I will leave my keys at the wrong church. So maybe this means that Jesus also died for all of the times my friend is going to be late for a meeting. Might I find a way to extend the peace of Christ to a person whose sins have also been forgiven? It should come at no surprise to anyone at this point in the sermon that this week I really want to encourage you to reflect on who in your life you need to forgive, and what small steps you might take to bring about peace and reconciliation in your lives and in our faith communities. I agree with Jesus that forgiveness is at the core of our call to Christian discipleship. We cannot say that we follow the God of peace and reconciliation if we are unwilling to forgive those who've hurt us. As witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we don't only proclaim that God loves us. We also proclaim that in Christ, God forgives and reconciles and makes new. And one way that we can model that in our lives is by forgiving those who have sinned against us. Friends, I hope that you will practice forgiveness in your own lives, because I know that it will free you to live more fully in the present. You'll no longer be bound and be carrying around with you your past hurts. You will no longer look for opportunities to exercise your past hurts on other people. Instead, you can go out into the world and get in on what God is already doing in our church, our community, and our world. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy." As we prepare to go from this place, let me say a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.